Hello, everybody, and welcome to Life Journeys with Serena. Happy Monday. Thank you so much for being here and for joining me today. I just want to start right off the bat and let you guys know that today is actually a pre-recorded show. So I'm not going to be taking any questions for any readings in the chat room today, but I'm going to make sure to pop into the chat room so that I can talk to you guys and answer any questions that you have and just get to know you all. So go ahead and leave all your questions and comments and thoughts in the chat room. I always love to hear what you guys are thinking. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, you can join our chat room by going to 12radio.com. That's the number one, the number two, radio.com. And clicking on the chat button that's going to be on the left side of your screen, that'll take you over to our Facebook group that's also called 12radio. And if this is your first time, then you can request to join the group, and our producer Jay will make sure to get you in there right away. And then you're going to see my banner, which should be right at the top of the group, and it's a picture of me and my dog hanging out on the beach. Easy to spot, and you can join us in the comments of that post. Make sure that you click on all comments so that you can see everyone else who's chatting, and feel free to respond to each other's comments and stuff too. So for those of you who tuned in last week, I'm so sorry I wasn't able to join you, but I hope you all enjoyed the replay of my very first show. We were in the middle of moving, and I wasn't able to set aside my usual time slot with everything that we were coordinating for the move. It was a bit chaotic, as all moves are, but it all went really well. It's so incredible when the universe just kind of gets does what it does and helps you out and everything. There were so many times when I was shocked at how quickly we were doing everything. At one point, after we finished loading up the U-Haul, I looked over at my husband and I said, "Hey, what time do you think it is right now?" And he said, "I don't know, maybe 2:30. I said, "Nope, it's 11 a.m. Like, it was like time stopped. I love it when that happens. And now that we're through it, I don't have to worry about jinxing it by saying that everything's going so well. But everything really went really well. So for you guys who were sending us some good energy about the move, I really appreciate that. I think it helped a lot. We're now fully moved into our new space, and our family is absolutely in love with this house. Like, I'm already noticing such a big change in our dog and our cat's behavior. They've settled into this bigger space, and it's already like they've been here for years. Like, it just makes me so happy to see them thrive. We did hit a pretty big heat wave within our first few days of being here out in the East Bay. Which was a huge shock after being so comfortable in foggy San Francisco. We actually got over 100 degrees at our house, and in those first few days, we did not have AC. We were hosing down the dog, and we were putting ice cubes on top of our little gecko enclosures to keep them cool. Sorry, excuse me, you guys. And what cracked me up the most was I noticed our cat was panting, and I put an ice pack on his stomach, and he cuddled with the ice pack. I never thought that would happen. It was just a shock to all of our systems, but I mean, I feel like we're all adjusted to the heat. It was baptism by fire, and I think now we kind of know what to expect, but now we have AC. It's cooled down a little bit. It's much more bearable. But for those of you who are in the Bay Area, I hope you got through it okay. I hope you stayed hydrated and cool. It was a rough one. I think we broke some records of how hot we were getting for that first week of July. But now we have this beautiful little garden, and I've just loved having my morning coffees outside before it gets too warm. I've noticed such a significant difference in my days when I'm able to just start my day in nature. It's such a big change from, you know, when we were in an apartment, I had to set aside some time and make sure that I was starting my day in a focused, conscious way and resetting myself and letting go of the energy of the day before and processing my dreams. And, you know, it had to be a specific moment of saying, okay, give me a second before, you know, the TV comes on or I look at my emails and everything. And, you know, I really had to be careful to make sure that I had that moment, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, that's really important. And it's such a huge difference to now I just step outside and I feel the sun on my face and I shake out my hair. And if you guys don't know, it's actually believed in certain cultures that our hair holds history. And most significantly, it holds the weight and the energy of the day before. And when I first heard this, I was like, oh my gosh, every morning I sleep with my hair up, and every morning I have to let my hair down and shake it out. And it just kind of I feel like it's giving me a fresh start. So every morning I make sure that I shake it out and I let go of everything from yesterday. It's a new day. We don't need to take it forward. But we've only been here for a few days, and gosh, I just love the new rituals I'm already starting, and that I get to connect with nature right away. And it's just, you know, I get to just step right outside, and it's the first thing I do in the morning. And actually, on our first day here, I was sitting in the garden having a coffee, and I was up before everybody else, and a beautiful little hummingbird visited some of the flowers that are in our yard, and then came right over to me and hovered right in front of my face. And it just felt like such a wonderful welcome. And yeah, that was super special for me for that to happen on my first day. So if you guys have any morning rituals that help you start your day off right, please comment them in the chat room. I would love to hear how you all like to start your day, and if you have any little tricks or rituals that keep you grounded throughout the rest of your day. I mean, I personally believe that it makes all the difference in our days how we start the day. And I've also just loved seeing how my own morning rituals have evolved and grown over the years. You know, a couple years ago, it used to be a cigarette and a coffee on the fire escape. And and wow, we've come a long way. I've since quit smoking, and it's been a wonderful change for me. Not that it was easy, but it is so interesting how those morning rituals, they evolve and they grow over the years. And I love seeing I love getting a little glimpse, I guess, of what my morning rituals are going to look like in this space. And I can't wait to see what they're going to turn into. But I'd really love to hear what your guys' morning rituals are. Please let me know. Okay, well, now for the actual part of the show. That's all my rambling of the update of our move and everything. I'm actually really excited about today's show because I'm introducing a new topic that's very important to me, and it's become such a huge part of my life. And it actually comes with a pretty big announcement as well that I've been keeping secret for a little while now. And it's that I'm almost 5 months pregnant. And this is my husband and I's first child, and we've been waiting for this for what feels like for so long. And we've both always known that we wanted to be parents, and we've been waiting for the right time for a while now. But for those of you who are parents, I'm sure you remember what it was like when you were just starting down this journey. And yeah, it has been a mind-blowing, in the best way, just eye-opening experience so far. But it's just been a roller coaster over the past few months, like getting to know this new version of myself. And my husband and I are having so many more conscious conversations about parenting and about health than we ever have before. I mean, having kids is something that we've always talked about. We both have a lot of opinions about parenting, so it's always been a frequent conversation in our relationship ever since the beginning. But it's so different now that it's actually happening. And our conversations are so much more real and meaningful than ever before. And it's been both really intense to see what we want and the kind of space we want to create for our child and for our family. And it's just really been a wonderful experience to fall in love with how I want our family to be and to feel that same excitement from him. And I mean, both of our families are both very excited, and we've always felt great support from our families, but our tribe is really showing up in a way we never could have anticipated, and it's been a really beautiful experience, and I'm so grateful for our whole community and how wonderful that's been. But I mean, one of the biggest adjustments for me within my very first pregnancy has been getting to know this new version of myself. Like, with all the research that I've done around cycle syncing, for those of you who've tuned in before, you'll know that I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to women's cycles and what goes on in our bodies with our hormones and everything, and how we can learn to live harmoniously with the changes that happen in our bodies every month. And it's been really great to take that platform that I have and that base understanding that I've developed over the past few years and begin to learn about how our hormones work and how our reproductive systems work in pregnancy and the insane things that our bodies are able to do. It really is incredible. I mean, and I knew a lot about pregnancy going into this from a research point of view, from a logical point of view, but of course I had no idea what it would feel like. And it's been absolutely bizarre to experience these changes in my hormones and the changes in my energy levels, this watching my physical body change, feeling a shift in the way that I'm thinking. That's a big one I want to talk to you guys about today, is I've noticed that the way that I think is beginning to change, and my priorities and everything there. And that's been something that I don't think I ever could have anticipated. I don't think I ever could have prepared for that. And I also don't hear many people talking about that, and I want to make that more of a conversation. But yeah, it has been a lot of fast changes really quick. And I mean, we're at the halfway point through this pregnancy. So I feel like I've settled into this version of myself a bit more, but I know it's all about to change again soon. And I, looking back on the earlier part of my pregnancy, one of the first things that actually snapped into place, like right away when we found out we were pregnant, was my priorities became crystal clear. Like, and it was a really wonderful feeling, actually. Tough conversations or setting firm boundaries, which, you know, are some things that I would have considered challenging or complicated before. And you know, I would have been nervous to have those conversations with family members or things. Like, all of a sudden, they were really simple, really straightforward. And I think it's because this baby and our little family are so clearly the first priority, and there's just no way to negotiate around that. Like, it's been such a beautiful and almost a primal shift to experience this drastic change from putting from being nervous about how to talk to people about boundaries or set boundaries with family or set boundaries with friends or talk about what I want with the people in my life. And it's gone from me being a little cautious and overly aware of their perspective and trying to be extremely empathetic, since that is naturally just, I'm an empath. It's a very natural part of me. Most of my instincts are going to be to think of the other person's experience before my own. And this shift has been so drastically different from what I know, because I'm no longer just myself. I have this whole other human that is experiencing all of these things with me, who is along for the ride and who is number one priority, hands down. And so when it comes to setting boundaries or having hard conversations, the other person's experience is no longer my first thought. It's my kid's experience. And I think I would have expected that to happen after giving birth, after meeting my child, after everything there. I definitely was not expecting that to happen as early as being 5 weeks pregnant. It was such an immediate change for me. And it's really been such an incredible shift to feel. But it's also made me think a lot about, like, the excuses we often make when it comes to confrontation and boundary setting. I mean, even what I just said about how I myself, I'm an empath, I'm going to think of other people's experiences and perception first, and how they're going to experience my request for my needs. And it just makes you think that that is a really kind way, I guess, to say I'm going to think of their feelings first, but why wouldn't our individual feelings come first as well? I think it's so often oversimplified as being seen as selfish or self-centered. When it really kind of also comes back down to that same saying of, you got to put on your own oxygen mask before the person next to you. And if you aren't taking care of your own emotions and your own needs and your own experience, then what position are you in to take care of other people's? And I'm a huge advocate for setting boundaries. It's something that I often talk to clients about on One to Listen. And it's something that I think we all need to work on and grow, and we're never done growing within. And it's a skill that should always be strengthened. And this shift for me personally, it's given me a new perspective within those conversations that I'm having with clients and with friends and with family. I mean, everybody struggles with setting boundaries. If somebody shows up and says, oh, setting boundaries, easy, no problem, first, if that's true, wonderful, good for you, that's incredible. But also, are you sure? Like, if you had to set a really tough boundary with, I don't know, a parent or a partner, you wouldn't have any doubts, you wouldn't have any nerves around that, really? I just think there's always going to be something that is a bit of a challenge, is a touchy subject, right? And it should be handled carefully. I think boundaries absolutely should be handled carefully. I mean, it's something it's uncomfortable. It can be confrontational. You could touch on sore subjects that you're not aware of with these other people in your life. It may not be well received by the people who are closest to us, right? And I always try to work with my clients on, like, normalizing frequently setting boundaries. And I encourage even friends of mine just to try setting small boundaries at first. They don't have to be big ones. They don't all have to be huge. It can just be something as simple as, you know what, I can't talk right now. I'm going to call you back at this time when it works better for me. It can be, I can't do dinner this Sunday night. I need to take a mental health day. It can be, I can't take on that project at this point. If you absolutely need me to do it, can I get some additional support? Right? And it's just, or it can be, you know, talking to your partner or, and having just about your immediate family, the people living in your home with you, saying, I understand that you need my help with this, but I'm not capable of doing that right now. Can I help you tomorrow? Right? It's just all these little things that it takes good communication skills, which also are something that I firmly believe we all need to constantly grow within. There's no destination there. It is something that we are always going to be working on. But setting boundaries, it's a skill, and it is hard to do. And I think a big reason why this is a topic that comes up so often is because, I mean, I've personally worked so hard at practicing setting boundaries, and I was, for so long, I was not good at it. It gave me so much anxiety. I was so worried about how other people would feel about it, and I wasn't able to put my own emotions first and my own experience first. And I've worked on strengthening the skill of setting boundaries. And I think because I've had that experience, it makes it a lot more relatable when people come to me and talk about it, because I know just how challenging it can be. And now with this new shift in my personal life, I'm amazed that all of a sudden it's so simple. And I'm fascinated by the way that my own perspective has shifted into an even simpler reality around boundary setting. And it's remarkable because it's so clearly connected to priorities, which I don't think is a way that I would have thought about it before. So I've been thinking a lot about what I think would have helped me, you know, when I was a teenager trying to figure out how to set boundaries and how to communicate and how to have hard conversations with people. And I think that something that has become more clear as I've been experiencing this shift within this pregnancy is that if you are struggling to set boundaries in your life, consider taking a look at your biggest priorities, right? Maybe top three. Your biggest values. The things that matter most to you that you want to prioritize. And then see if the way that you interact with the people in your life aligns with those priorities, right? Don't shift your priorities to meet the people around you. Work on shifting the way you interact with the people in your life to match your priorities and values. And it is such a delicate thing, because even saying that can bring up so many things of, oh, but should that be my priority? Should that be the way that I'm thinking about it? But no, I at this point firmly believe that we should not change our priorities or our values in order to match the people in our life. Interact with the people in your life in a way that aligns with your values and your priorities and what matters most to you in life. And I'm so grateful that I'm currently having this experience of that being so clear. My number one priority is the three of us, my husband, my baby, and me. And I haven't even met this baby yet. And it is bizarre that it's just our little family unit. That is number one priority. Number one, like absolute number one priority is this kid who is going to be my whole world. It blows my mind. It is such a, this feeling is so, it's almost palpable. It is almost like tangible. It's insane how strong this feeling is. But the second that became clear, having hard conversations, and we haven't had to have too many hard conversations. It's mainly just been around, when family can come see the baby once I've given birth, once he's born and everything, like, you know, how quickly all that can happen. It's just basic logistic family planning stuff. Everyone is so excited to be here. We can't have 50 people here once the baby's born. So it's just, you know, and that can be a hard conversation, especially with grandparents, right? You know, I'm going to want a couple days with our newborn and my husband, just the three of us. See how that goes. Let us settle in. Then bring everybody in. Like, and so that has been, I'm so grateful that has become so clear for me. And it's something that, when thinking about it before getting pregnant, of, oh, how would I handle that conversation? Oh, I have the in-laws. It's different than my family. How would I do that? Nope. It is crystal clear right now. It is an easy conversation. Everyone has been really understanding. So that's been great. It hasn't been too confrontational or anything, but yeah, it is such a significant shift. And I don't think it needs to be something that we only experience once this massive change happens in your life. I wish that I'd had this experience when I was a teenager trying to figure out how to set boundaries with people. When I was in my early 20s trying to figure out, what am I going to do in my life? How do I want to be? Who is this person I want to be, right? How do I interact with these people? If I'd had those priorities clear, if I'd had those values clear, if I'd had that boundary setting skill, if I'd already worked on strengthening that, I wonder how that would have gone. And it's so interesting that this is such a, I sit here thinking about this all the time now. And I wanted to bring this into the conversation today, since it's been such a big part of my process of becoming a parent. And I just know that the skill of setting boundaries is going to be needed even more, especially when it comes to raising my own kid. Like, I think the people who are now capable of setting boundaries with ease as adults is because they had great boundaries from their parents as children. And I'm trying to bring that consciousness into this child's life. And it's, I'd love to hear what your all experiences with this. It's so funny how it can be such a controversial topic, but I want it to be something that's normalized. I want us to I would love to normalize setting boundaries with friends, family, coworkers, siblings, parents, everybody. Yeah. Okay, we'll shift gears. another experience that has been absolutely shocking so far in this pregnancy is this duality of wanting to understand as much as possible about what's going on in my body and what's going on with the baby and everything, but also not wanting to medicalize my experience of being pregnant. And I feel this way about so many parts of life. And I just find the way that we talk about our experiences as people in Western medicine is often so cold and so disconnected from how we actually feel. And just what we personally experience. I find it so frustrating that in Western medicine, most of the time, you know, it's not an intuitive experience. And we medicalize things that don't always need to be, right? And I mean, I'm also someone who obsessively dives into research. I get hooked on some topic and I will research. I have that obsessive quality. It's definitely the Sag in me. And I have loved jumping into learning about what my body is doing to create this little body and attempting to understand the truly miraculous way that my body knows exactly what to do. I didn't have to take a class. There's no instruction manual. It's so beautiful how my body automatically knows how to create a fully functioning body. I love it. And it's so easy to get fully sucked into that. And I've been trying not to be too hooked on it, right? Too worried about, okay, what size is my baby this week? Or what organs are being developed this month on a day-to-day basis? It has been really challenging because I do want to know everything. And I want to experience all of it at once, right? I'm not the most patient person. And so I want to know what the third trimester is going to feel like. I want to know what all these other things are going to feel like. And I've found that the approach of needing to understand everything has removed me sometimes from actually experiencing my pregnancy and staying present and conscious in this experience. And that conflict of wanting to know everything, wanting to understand it all, but also wanting to stay present and fully experience what the day-to-day life of this pregnancy today feels like, it's been an interesting line to walk. I'll say that. And a big moment in my pregnancy so far that kind of helped me isolate this dilemma, figure out, okay, wow, I want to figure out how I can find balance in that. A big moment was right at the end of my first trimester. So I had terrible, horrible morning sickness. I had no energy. I had horrible nausea And I had the hardest time, like, eating anything throughout my entire first trimester. And mainly between weeks 8 and 12. Like, that month was the worst month for me ever. And everybody kept telling me, like, doctors, my mom, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my friend, everybody, my aunts, like, everyone kept telling me that you'll get to the, just get to the second trimester. Get to week 12 and a switch will flip and you will feel fine. And I had so many people saying it's nirvana. The second trimester is incredible. You are going to be, you're going to enjoy being pregnant. You're going to love it. You're going to not feel any of this first trimester crap. You're going to feel great. But I heard from other women that were saying that they didn't get that relief. That they, their second trimester still kind of sucked. That they still had the morning sickness. That they still felt nauseous. That they still couldn't eat. And I got a little worried that it would be me, because it was so painful and hard to get through that chunk of time between weeks 8 and 12. And so, like, there was no way that I was going to actually just allow myself to hope for some sort of relief in the second trimester without understanding what the hell was going on in my body. So this is when I started learning all about the placenta. And I'm gonna nerd out on a little bit of what happens with you guys for a second. But for those of you who don't know, the placenta is actually an organ that we grow when we become pregnant that eventually functions on its own and helps provide hormones and nutrients for the baby. It is birthed after the baby is born. And so with each pregnancy, you grow a whole new placenta, a whole new organ. And it's pretty cool. Like, I am a big fan of the placenta after learning what it does. So it helps filter all the nutrients and the bloodstream so that nothing toxic gets through to the baby as they're developing and everything. And it's crazy, actually. They've started doing studies on what the placenta from parents who had COVID while they were pregnant looked like. And the placenta actually turns black in certain spots because it was filtering through so much to keep the baby safe. And this little organ is just incredible. I absolutely love what I've learned about the placenta. It is so cool. And I think it is just incredible that we not only grow a human, but we grow a whole functioning organ that functions completely in my body that didn't used to be there. And what really got me when learning about the placenta is that within just 12 weeks, only 3 months, the placenta is able to take over the majority of the hormone production for the baby. And that switch that happens between weeks 10 and 12 is a big reason why a lot of moms experience that relief in the second trimester. It's because in the first trimester, your hormones are freaking out. You're producing your own body's hormones, but you're also producing all of the hormones for the baby, and you have no help. And it's just a big, like, it's like a big shit show. It is just ridiculous how much responsibility and how much, I mean, think about how much your hormones impact you in your monthly cycle on a day-to-day basis as your hormones shift and change in that 28 to 35 day cycle, right? Like, thinking about how your hormones are going to change as you're growing a new baby and producing hormones for the baby and for yourself. No wonder it's just like a big blob of confusion. So the fact that your nausea goes away, like, so much changes for so many people in the second trimester. And it's all because of the placenta. And in only 12 weeks, I was able to grow a whole organ that took over hormone production in order to grow another human. Like, I'm so amazed. I think it is so incredible. And for me, like, I think it was just a few days after week 12, I was able to eat food regularly, which I didn't think I would ever be able to do it again. I was living off of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and butter pasta. Like, that's all I could do. Maybe some yogurt. Like, that's, but really that was kind of a, it was a good day if I could get some yogurt in me. And all of a sudden I was having cravings for different food. I could eat food without feeling like I was going to throw up. It was incredible. I could digest food without feeling like I was going to throw up. But I think, and those things I'd been told about, second trimester will come around and you will feel a lot less nauseous. You'll be able to eat. You'll feel a lot of relief. The things that surprised me is I could think more clearly. Like, all of a sudden I had no brain fog, which I hadn't fully realized that I had brain fog in my first trimester, but I could process things more clearly. I didn't have that pregnancy brain where I couldn't place words as much, or I would start talking and forget what I was talking about and would just stop in the middle of a sentence or a conversation. Right? I mean, I wasn't exhausted all the time. Like, I didn't feel it. I was taking minimum 2 naps a day. Like, it was incredible when I felt like I could get... The first day I went through, I think it was somewhere in week 13, when I didn't take a nap and I felt fine, was incredible. I thought that was awesome. I actually wanted to exercise. I wanted to do yoga. I wanted to do some light strength training. I wanted to go on more walks. Like, I had so much energy. It was insane. I wanted to journal and write more and be and experience this pregnancy, and I was excited about it. Like, I got more excited about my work, and it was just overall, I felt like myself again. And it's funny, I was, a couple of my friends I was telling who haven't been pregnant before were asking what it felt like. And in the first trimester, I kept saying, it feels like an alien has popped into my body and has taken over all controls. And I'm just a passenger along for the ride. And I got into the second trimester and I'm like, okay, the alien's gone. I've been given the controls back again. I'm back. Like, I've returned. And it was, yeah, it really is. I got that nirvana experience. The second trimester is completely, completely different. And I'm so grateful that it is. But for me, I mean, this is exactly what I mean when I say that, like, doing the research and understanding what is medically and physically happening in my body helped me stay present. But there have been so many times when the whole medical process and the research process that I fall into has been overwhelming, and it takes me right out of that present experience of my pregnancy, and I'm no longer consciously present in my pregnancy. I'm full of worry, or I'm full of lack of understanding, right? And it's a completely different experience. And I mean, so, like, when we first found out we were pregnant, I went through such an emotional roller coaster. I was so happy and so excited, and I couldn't wait to experience my pregnancy and, you know, to eventually meet our baby. And I wanted to experience everything at once, and I was so thrilled. And then it started getting a little bit more complicated. I started worrying about doing something wrong. I started worrying if I was eating the wrong foods, or if I was lifting something the wrong way, or taking too hot of a shower, or not resting enough, or cleaning with the wrong products. And I mean, the list goes on and on about all the things that pregnant people are told not to do. It's just, and it's intimidating. It's like the list of things you have to learn right away, it's a little bit ridiculous, because there's no way to be fully confident for the first few months about how you are supposed to hold yourself as a pregnant person and live life. And that's also paired with the fact that all your doctor tells you is not to drink alcohol and don't do drugs. Like, that's it. When I booked my first doctor's appointment, which I wasn't able to, I had to book an appointment for about a month later because they won't see you until you're 9 weeks pregnant. And we found out right at about 5 weeks, and I pretty much knew by week 3 that I was pregnant. Like, I had a really incredible experience with it, where I'm pretty sure I knew maybe 2 days Yeah, it was an incredible experience for me, of the process of getting pregnant and knowing right away and feeling that shift in my body. And I'll talk about that, I'm sure, at another show. But I had to wait a long time before going to see my doctor, and they wouldn't see me. They said, nope, there's no point in seeing you until week 9. You can come in, and all we can do is confirm that you're pregnant. But, like, that's it. But we won't be able to do much more. And I got a letter that said, congratulations, we're excited to take you through your prenatal journey with us and everything. In the meantime, we'll see you at week 9. In the meantime, just don't drink alcohol and don't do drugs. And that was it. And then you get the what to expect when you're expecting book or the other books of, and you hear about all the advice that comes pouring in through every person you've ever met and the random people on the street. And it is a very different experience. It's not as simple as don't drink alcohol and don't do drugs, right? It's don't eat undercooked eggs. It's obviously don't eat sushi and things like that. But it's also don't eat certain fish. And you're not supposed to have horseradish because it can lead to a miscarriage. And which I almost did. And my husband goes, are you sure you're supposed to have horseradish? No idea why he thought that. It did not cross my mind at all. And I Googled it real quick and it said, can lead to miscarriage. Okay, I'm not having that sandwich. But it is, it's almost like there's little landmines throughout your daily life of how you're used to living. And all of a sudden, you're not supposed to do these things and you're just supposed to automatically know. And it's things from certain workouts aren't safe, but you're supposed to be working out. Or cleaning products aren't safe, but you need to make sure everything's clean. You know, and it's all these things that it really, for me at least, it felt like it was every single part of my life and it was overwhelming. And I feel like Western medicine felt like it was kind of falling short for me and didn't provide me with the resources that I needed, because I felt like I'm not fully sure I can trust everything that I mean, obviously I can't trust everything that I see on the internet. But that's my main resource. So how do I find the right sites? And I was able to figure it out, but it was a lot to figure out. All at once. And for a few weeks there, you know, I wouldn't eat anything or really do anything without Googling it first. And it's a tiring experience. And I mean, this, of course, got me thinking so much about just how much we rely on the internet for so many important things. And it didn't used to be that way, right? I mean, technology, of course, it helps us in so many ways, and I'm so grateful that I have that resource, but it also causes a whole lot of unnecessary anxiety, right? I mean, generations before us, for thousands of years, have done this. They've had babies, and they did not have the internet. And you can say that, but at the same time, our world has drastically changed since that time, and so much in our normal world is not safe for pregnant people, right? From many of the foods we regularly eat to the cleaning products in our homes right now, there's so many things that are not safe for a person who is growing a human. And that was hard for me to process. And so, I mean, I was talking to my mom at one point about how much I miss eating medium rare meat. And I just hate that everything has to be overcooked and blackened, basically. And she was shocked. She had no idea what I was talking about. She was like, you are overdoing it. What are you talking about? She kept saying that she ate all kinds of medium rare steaks, regularly cooked, like medium burgers, runny eggs, all this. Like, she didn't eat sushi, but she would eat a lot of, like, well-cooked meat. not burnt meat. And she said that that wasn't even a conversation that was happening 30 years ago, right? It wasn't something doctors were recommending. It wasn't commonly advised for pregnant people to only eat well and overcooked meat. and to not eat anything that is undercooked or considered raw, or close to raw. And so I, of course, I had to look into it. And it turns out, I mean, the answer is pretty simple. The meat that we're eating now is less safe than the meat was 30 years ago, right? It's full of antibiotics that are given to the livestock, and the conditions that they live in are not ideal. I mean, they're inhumane. And that's a whole other topic we can get into at another time. But it makes it so that you need to cook the living shit out of all of your protein in order to make it safe for pregnant people to eat. And it's a different time now than it was even 30 years ago. And at some point, I mean, I had to let go and just trust that people have been doing this for thousands of years, and people have been having babies for generations, and the last thing I need is to put myself through unnecessary anxiety. And I mean, I think one of the biggest reasons that I'm able to do this now and to start to let go of that is because I'm 5 months in, and I generally know what to eat and what not to eat and what cleaning products to use and how to move and how to lift things and when something's too heavy. And but it's become so much more natural to me than it was at first. And it was not natural at first at all. And with this shift, I've been able to let go a lot of worry. And, you know, I don't Google things anymore. But I, you know, and hopefully if I have future pregnancies, I'll be able to continue that, and I won't need to bring that in to my experience in future pregnancies. But I think a lot of people who are going through their first pregnancies, this is something that is really anxiety inducing. It's stressful. And in the same way that I'm noticing a shift in the way I'm talking about boundaries, I'm definitely noticing that I'm talking about stress and anxiety differently than I did before I was pregnant. And it's, I mean, now that it isn't just me that I'm putting through stress and anxious experiences, right? It's our kid as well, because the baby's experiencing everything that I'm experiencing. So if I'm going through a stressful experience or feeling anxious, so is he. And it's just made me wonder why so many things that we've accepted as normal, like anxiety or stress, are suddenly unacceptable when we are no longer only putting ourselves through this experience, but we're also putting somebody else who we love through it as well. Like, why can't it be enough just to say, I don't want to put myself through this experience, so I'm going to say, no, I don't want that added anxiety. I don't want that stress. I'm going to choose a different way. And I talk to so many people about anxiety, and it is so, so present in most people's lives, right? Whether they're aware of it or not. Like, anxiety is just a big part of life these days, and so many people are impacted by it and experience it daily. And I do love that more and more it's becoming such a normal conversation, because I know we need to acknowledge it, and it shouldn't be something we can't talk about, right? It's something a lot of us are experiencing. We need to talk about it. But the last thing that I want is for it to be an accepted part of life that we expect to be part of our days. I never want to accept anxiety and stress as just a natural part of life. And I've been a bit shocked that this wasn't something that I was so clearly thinking about before I became pregnant. And it makes me sad that so many of us so often won't choose to look at something that is challenging directly in the eye and address it when we're the only one being negatively impacted by it. If it's negatively impacting other people, a lot of us will say, okay, it's worth my time to look at it. It's now impacting other people. But our world doesn't really support genuinely advocating for our own happiness and peace just for the sake of happiness and peace. You need some other reason, right? It's seen as selfish, which just makes me really sad. Like, there's that kind of selfishness I absolutely endorse. Being able to say, no, I don't want to feel stressed out by this. I am going to choose my own happiness and my own peace. And it's making this whole process of this shift within my mentality is making me talk to people, to the people in my life, right? Whether they're clients or friends or family, I'm talking about them. I'm talking about anxiety and stress with them differently. And I really believe that I shouldn't be the only one who is refusing to accept stress and anxiety as a normal part of my life just because I'm pregnant. Right? That's a normal thing, I think, that society has said. If you're pregnant, you shouldn't be putting yourself through additional stress. You got enough going on. You got a lot of internal stress going on. Enough is happening. Right? I think everybody should refuse to settle for a stress-filled and an anxiety-riddled life. It shouldn't just be us pregnant people. Right? So if you are having a hard time with anxiety and feeling extremely stressed out, it's really hard when the things that are causing you anxiety are outside of your control. But you do control how you react to it. And you do control the boundaries that you set around it and the choices that you make about what you want to engage with. And for me, with this experience, I chose to reduce the anxiety in my life by accepting that I can't know everything about this pregnancy and that I'm not going to Google everything, that I'm going to learn as much as I can until it gets to a point where it is too stressful, and then I'm going to cut it off and say, I know enough, I feel confident about what I know, and I don't need to worry about what I don't know. And that's been a huge step for me within this, as somebody who wants to know everything, right? And it is a boundary that I've set with myself, really. And yeah, I would love it if we could start talking about anxiety and stress this way, where it's accepted to go out of your way to reduce the anxiety and the stress in your life. Because life should be full of joy and wonderful things and not stressful, scary, anxious things. It's a part of life. We'll always interact with it at some point. But if there's something that's stressing you out and causing you anxiety on a daily basis over and over and over again, it doesn't have to, right? Okay, there's my ramble of all the big, wonderful thoughts that I've been having with this major life change for me. And I'm really, really excited to share this journey that I'm going on with you guys. And I am expecting pregnancy and parenthood to be a pretty frequent conversation on this radio show. Everything from talking about breastfeeding and formula, talking about raising your kids, talking about what pregnancy feels like, the decisions that we have to make as parents starting in pregnancy and through our child's like entire life. Like I am learning so much about the kind of parent I want to be, and I would love for this to be a conversation that we can all have together. So I'm going to be talking a lot more about my experience with my pregnancy in future shows and start to bring up some of these new topics in our discussions. And clearly it's been bringing up so many new thoughts and experiences for me over the past few months. Like, I can only imagine what the next 5 months are going to feel like. And, and also a little fun fact for you guys. We are having a Sagittarius baby, and both me and my husband are Sagittarians. Gosh, this is going to be one fire-filled house. It's something I'm really excited about, and I love, I love that we're going to have a Sagittarius baby, but I'm also so curious to see what kind of fire child this baby's gonna be. So it's a fun little fact. But Yeah, that's it for this week's show, you guys. As we are still in the process of settling into our new house, I may not have Wi-Fi figured out by next week. So next week's show may also be pre-recorded, just a heads up. But if that is the case, I will make sure to be in the chat room next Monday at noon Pacific time while the show is live, and so that I can respond to all your chats and talk to you all. And in the meantime, you can find me at 12listen.com as an advisor. I'm definitely a night owl over on the Pacific time. So you can find me like late morning through late nights. I'm on most days. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me today, everyone, for my big announcement. And I really enjoyed this show. And I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your Monday and the rest of your week. And I will see you next week for the next episode of Life Journeys with Serena on Monday, noon Pacific time. Thanks, you guys. Enjoy the rest of your week.